Okay, here we go. We are on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom, second to last line. Ketzav Menafeach. How is it that you blow or winnow the chaff away from the kernels? Right, we're still talking about the wheat kernels. So what would be the permissible way to do so and not be in violation of Borer on Yantiv? Okay. Even on Shabbos, potentially. So, Kesem Menafech, Amr of Adabar, Hava Amarav, Menafech, Mi Kishrei Etzbaosav. You can do it from in between your fingers. If the chaff and the kernels are in between your fingers, you can just blow in between your fingers as opposed to them sitting on your palm. Mi Kishrei Etzbaosav, Lamala, anything from the fingers and upwards. Okay. But you wouldn't be able to do that when it's sitting in your palm. But Machaku Olav Marava. They laughed at him in Eretz Yisrael. In Israel, the Israelis laughed at such a halacha. Because Kevin de Bishani, once you're already changing it, meaning that you're not putting it from hand to hand, so then Afil Baguliya de Naami, even if you put anywhere in your hand, it would be okay to blow on it. Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar, Menapech Piyado Achas Bechol Kocho. A person is allowed to blow on his hands, as long as it's one hand that he's holding these kernels in. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't have to be in the fingers, it could be anywhere. And that's enough of an abnormality to justify or to absolve one from any prohibited activity. The Mishnah then says, new Mishnah at the top of Yudal Amud Aleph, Beishami or Mimtavlin Nidochin B'madoch Shel Eitz. Spices have to be, what is it? How does it say? Batted? What is it? Crushed. What do you have, Michael?
Wooden pestle.
Yeah, pestle. Crushed onions with a wooden pestle. Specifically with a wooden one as opposed to the regular one, which is stone. Because that is at least a small change from what's required. V'hamelach, and when it comes to salt as opposed to other spices, v'pach. Ube eitz haparor, with a small pach.
Earthenware flask.
Flask. Okay, I've got a plate. What do you? Oh, you have the. You all have the art scroll. It's all going to be the
We're
same.
Using a spoon, so I think its idea is you're still doing the same action, but with breakable materials that aren't
okay.
Hard.
You know the old pestle, the old like cup that the farmers use. At least a wooden spoon, but that concept, I guess.
Yeah, but wood is obviously not as ideal, so to do it on Yantiv is okay. Now the question is, why are we even doing it in a weird way? Isn't that for food purposes? And I thought for food purposes you can do whatever you want. So as we'll see soon in the Gemara, the only time you can do whatever you want for food purposes is when you couldn't have done it before Yantiv. If you could have cooked everything before Yantiv and ground your spices before Yantiv, and there wouldn't be any kind of, lessening in the quality of the food, so then you should have done it before Yantif. The fact that you're doing it on Yantif means that you have to do it a little differently. It's almost like penalizing them for not doing it properly, as we'll see soon. Be'etz Parur was something, a big wooden mixer, spoon, something like that.
We follow this to an extreme?
What?
We follow this now?
Well, it depends how you understand it. You're probably thinking about meat and chicken, so that kind of stuff we generally...
I think about some of this Torah lunch, where some of the stuff we prepare against this and some of the stuff we prepare beforehand.
So there's a little bit different. There's a couple of things. First of all, everybody knows that meat that's prepared the same day is fresher and better tasting. Well, there's nothing problematic for preparing those. It's not that you have to prepare beforehand. It's that anything that would generally be involving a malacha, you have to do beforehand. So cooking, and here it's crushing, which, right, making, crushing something is usher that generally on Shabbos, and is only okay on Yantif, it's necessary on Yantif. If you could have, however, as we'll see in the Gemara, if you could have done it from before Yantif, so then we're going to penalize you and say you're still allowed to do it, but in a weird way, an abnormal way.
And then the sunlight is required requiring this wooden pestle.
It sounds as if Beis Shammai is requiring more than Beis Hillel, because then Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel Omrim, Tav Nidoch Nidarkan, regular spices can be used in their regular, can be crushed in their regular way. B'madoch Shel Evan, with a stone pestle and mortar. V'hamelach B'madoch Shel Eitz. Right? Salt still needs a wooden pestle. Why would you? What's the difference? Well, Gemara's going to say it, but can you guess?
I would say more pepper because it's not
you don't need it to be that fine.
Well, think about doing things from before Yantif versus on Yantif.
Well, salting is involved in other malachos.
So but salting is something that helps while kashering, but also it endures, right? It's something, it preserves. It's a preservative. It's a natural preservative, in which case the salt will maintain itself if you've done it before Yontif. If, however, you're talking about, let's say, ground black pepper, right? It's its potency is much greater when it's crushed right away.
Right.
If you would crush it the day before, so then its potency wouldn't be as great, right? The flavor dissipates as it sits out.
That's actually a good example of the Korean Pesach.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Right? The longer before Yant, if you do it, the less potent it's going to be.
Yes.
So, right? So, similar, that's what the Gemara is going to say. So, now, to Kul Yam Amis Melech Bayashinoi, everyone agrees that salt requires some kind of abnormal activity when you would crush it. So, my time, why? Rav Huna, Rav Chista. There are two different possibilities. Chad Amar Kol Gederos Kul and Srichos Melech, Vein Kol Gederos Srich and Tavlin. Right, so one of them explains that every dish is going to require salt. Just every dish needs salt, right?
Seems like today.
Yeah, it's still true today. However, not every dish requires spices. In which case, what's the situation? You should have known from before Yontif. Is there someone outside? It sounds like someone's
outside. Like
there is nobody else in the building. Either way, suggestion number one is that because everybody knows they're going to need salt on Yontif, they should have done it before Yontif. But because you don't necessarily know that you're going to need spices, because not every dish needs spices, so then you'd still be allowed to do it on Yontif because you shouldn't. It's not necessarily the case that you should have prepared it because you don't necessarily know that you're going to need it. Right, so that's answer number one. Answer number two, v'chad amar, kol hatavlin mafig and taman. As I said before, spices, the potency dissipates. Umelach en mafig atama, but melach continues its taste, will always continue its potency, even in the long term. So you should have done it before Yontif. So my b'nai, what's the difference? What's the practical difference? Is there a ramification between these opinions? Ik b'nai umay kedera diyada. When you know exactly what dishes you're going to make, right? If you have dishes in mind, you made your menu already. You know which spices you're going to need. So then you should have crushed those spices from before Yontif. The only time where we're lenient to say that your spices don't require you to have crushed them before Yontif is when you don't necessarily know what you're going to make. This is also, by the way, this is also different, a little bit different nowadays with refrigeration. Right, we're talking back then about when they would prepare food as close to the time as possible because they had to keep it somehow. Right, it wasn't easy to store it away in some cold place. Right, we're talking Sukkot and Pesach, the dead of the winter. There's not really many holidays that fall in these categories. So that's one possibility. If you know what you're going to be making the next day, therefore we do not give you the leniency of crushing it normally on the day itself. On Yontif itself, according to the other opinion, that the spices are still going to, the potency is going to dissipate. So it doesn't matter if you know what the dish is. The potency is going to dissipate regardless, and therefore you should be allowed to do it from the day before. Inami. Alternatively, we're talking about morika, bimorika, which is some kind of spice. Saffron. What do you guys have, morika?
Saffron.
Yeah, saffron. I don't know exactly what it is, but apparently it's a spice that maintains its potency similar to salt.
You said before, salt is
something loses potency, you should have done before.
If it loses its potency, so you're allowed to do the day of.
Oh, good.
Right, because then the flavor doesn't maintain itself, so we have a leniency. If, however, something like saffron, which does maintain its potency, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do it the day of. You should have done it the day before. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, calling dochin yidochin gedar kavafil melech. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, everything can be crushed in its normal way. So he goes, wait a second. Amar melech by shinoi. Didn't we say? You even said that we all agree that salt has to be crushed from before yantif. So he says, no. Huda amar ki hai tana. That's in accordance to the following Tana. The Tanya Am Rabbi Meir, Lo Nechu Esham Vesil Al Hanidoch Nishnidoch Nkdarkan Umelach Imahen. Lo Nechluku Esham Vesil Al Hanidochin. They do not argue about regular spices, Shinidoch Nkdarkan, that they can be crushed normally, and salt, that it is the same. Umelach imahen. Oh, melach imahen, meaning when they're crushed together, they can do so. You can do so on the same day. But lo nachu ella leducha b'fnei atzma, to crush the salt by itself. Shebeishami orim melach b'pach b'eitz paror. Beishami says it has to be done with this special type of earthenware plate, or with a wooden spoon. Let's see, avalo likidera. For the sake of salting the meat to be roasted, so that's when you only need a little bit of salt, and therefore what? And therefore we'll like to do it, but avalo likidera, meaning when you need a lot of salt, so that would not be okay. That's too much work on Yantif. Ubeisil omrim bechol davar. Ubeisil says you can do whatever you want with salt. Bechol davar sagada, you do whatever you want. El ema lichol davar. It doesn't matter what you're putting it into. It doesn't mean that you can go and crush it normally, but rather anything you're putting it into. So here you have the first the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that everything is. Okay to be crushed, and even salt. But the salt, it depends, according to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether it can be done by itself independently, and that depends on, according to Beis Shammai, it depends on what kind of thing you're adding the salt to, whereas Beis Hillel says you can add it to anything you want. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel was going in accordance to, even though before he had said that they disagreed, with the salt, that everyone agrees salt needs a shinoi. Not true. Okay. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Dela Libre, he says to his son, Ki Daichas, when you, I feel like that's in our yard.
Yeah, I guess, I keep thinking it's a phone, just on my phone.
Is that in our yard or the parking lot?
Yeah, behind, a little bit behind is the parking lot.
I know.
Don't we have the alarm go off? You know that.
I don't know if there's a real alarm on that thing.
Off
of
us.
What? At least
give us
an answer for the dog. At least
give us
the answer for the
dog. Oh, Jerry's in there. We have Shear, Jerry. We were hearing voices during Shear. We didn't know who they were, and now we see it's you.
I thought it was a heavenly voice.
Wait. Your voice is hearing your head on me?
Now I know you're actually here, so I'm at ease. Okay. So. So he says, when you crush the salt on Yantif, he says it to his sons, Atzluye, Atzluye Vidoch. So then turn it to its side. Turn it to its side, and that's how you should do it, because that itself is enough of a shinoi. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Turn what to its side? What are we turning to its side?
I'm looking at the content, but that seems like a sinui. The salt
stone? Is there that we're talking about?
Minor deviation, that's what it's saying. So yeah.
Okay.
Explained in Todos Yaakov.
Rav Sheshes Shamas Kol Buchna. So Rav Sheshes once heard the sound of salt being crushed. I don't know what Buchna literally means. What does it mean?
Stone pestle.
Right, regular mortar and pestle. So Amar Hailav Migave Debesehu. That's not coming from my house, because I know that I said you're not allowed to do that. So I says, wait a second, Vidilma Atzluya Atzli, maybe they turned it to its side and they're digging, they're crushing it in a roundabout way, even though it makes the same sound. No, Deshame to have a Tzlil Kale. It was a much clearer sound. And if it was on its side, so it would have created a different sound. I guess he was an expert in how to crush things, what sounds they made. Vidilma Tavlin Havu, maybe it was referring to spices, in which case there is a requirement to, there's less of a requirement to do it with a shinoi. So he says, no, Tavlin Nabuche Min Nabach Kalayhu. Right, the crushing of spices sounds very different. It sounds what? It's lesser? Or it's more muted? What does the word menabeach mean? Oh, they make a louder sound. So he knew that it wasn't that.
I think pounded with a stone pestle. I have a plastic mortar and pestle.
Yeah, that would not be a problem.
I don't use it on Yom Kippur Shabbos, but it's harder to do.
Right, either way, this. Yeah. Either way, the sound is different, and therefore he knew it must have been somebody else's house because
it was so. I used to have one, and I don't have one here, and I didn't want to buy an expensive pestle and mortar.
Why is that?
It makes a louder sound.
Why is that expensive? I feel like that's just a mineral.
It's like I want to get something for once in a while for my
Okay.
Body for fermenting.
Weird. All right, moving on.
I used to have that. It was much, hard materials to make us.
Okay, so the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanan ain osim biyom tov tisni." Tisni is ground up wheat kernels. I feel like we've talked about tisni before. It's ground up so much that it breaks up into different pieces.
Looking up, it doesn't translate it.
Of ain kochin b'machteshes, and you also shouldn't crush it with a machteshes. What's the literal translation, machteshes? You shouldn't use tisni, and you shouldn't use a machteshet. What's a machteshet?
A mortar. Just a mortar.
It's different term.
Enos
and tisni, you don't make tisni. And you don't crush with this special mortar. Some kind of special thing that you crush things with. So Gemara says, tarti. So there are two things here, which are not similar. And there's therefore a contradiction. What's the contradiction? You shouldn't make tisni, which is grain, and then it says you shouldn't do it with this instrument, which implies with a different instrument you could do it. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, no hachikamar, matam enos and tisni, why can't you make this tisni? Because the only way to make the tisni is with this special type of mortar. So Gemara says, Valema ain kochim machtashes, why not just say don't use this special mortar? So itani and kochin tachtashes havamina hani mili pematrashis gadola. Maybe there's only a big mortar of matrashis tana, ima shapir dam, maybe a small one, it's okay. Kamash Milan, you teach us that it's really referring to what? It's not okay even with a small mortar. This machteshes type of mortar. So Gemara says, "Ha Tanya, doesn't the Braisa tell us otherwise?" Ain kochim machteshes gedola, val kochim machteshes tana. There's a Braisa that says you could use a small mortar. Amar Abaye, ki Tanya nami masnisa machteshes gedola Tanya. Our Mishnah also only means a big mortar. Okay. Rava Amar lokasha. Rava says a different answer. Ha lan v'halahu. Here in Bavel, where our servants are more scrupulous, and they don't use even big. They can make a difference. They wouldn't lie to us, I guess. We can trust them that they're using the right kind of mortar. But in Eretz Yisrael, where their servants, for whatever reason, are more lax in what they're allowed to do, in violating prohibitions, so they're going to use the bigger mortar and then lie to us and tell us that they're using a smaller one. Kind of interesting. difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael servants. Rav Papi Ikla Lebei Mar Shmuel Ayeti Lei Daisa V'lo Achal. He brought him Daisa, which is also some kind of finely grained wheat or rice. What's Daisa? I know Daisa had it in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's rice. Isn't it rice? Yeah, it's also wheat kernels, which are ground very fine. And he didn't eat it because he assumed that it was crushed that day. Maybe they made this daisa, maybe they made it with some kind of smaller mortar. So the Gemara said, no, he saw that they were really beating it well. In which case, it was clear that it was a big mortar, which is a problem. Maybe they did it yesterday. No, he saw them doing it. Again, right? Maybe you could say that Shmuel's servants were particularly violating. I don't know how to say it. Particularly transgressing. Transgressors. And therefore, there is a greater concern that he said they used a big mortar and on Yantiv itself. Okay. That was for a week. Okay, new Mishnah. Haborer kitnios biyom tov. Someone who separates out the chaff from kitnios, we said were legumes on Yantiv. Beisham yorim bora ochel v'ochel. You separate the good and then you can eat it right away. Ubeis hilal omrim. Borer kedarko, you can separate it as normal. Becheko, but just put it in your lap, not into a vessel of some kind. Bekanon, which is some kind of vessel that has two openings. It's like a flask.
Like a board or a sieve.
A what?
So it just says not with a board, not with a sieve. Or a course. I think it's talking about a sieve.
No, that's the next part. I'm still talking about what is.
A funnel or with a large plate.
Okay. Or a large plate. Right, so I said funnel is what I was looking for. Funnel or a large plate of a lo betavla, v'lo benafa, v'lo bekvar, but not with any formidable filtering devices. Rabbi Gamliel Omar, af mediach v'shole. You could even mediach. You could even separate the good stuff out through what? Mediach means to put it in water. Is that what that means? Mediach, Rashi says b'mayim. I guess it means to put a v'shola and then to take the top off. Whatever comes off, whatever chaff raises to the top, I assume it's less dense, and therefore it floats to the top. So the Gemara says, Amar Tanya, Amar Rabbi Gamliel Madavar Murim, Kisha Ocham Ruba Absolas. When the good parts are better than the small parts of Av Absolas Ruba Ochal, but if all the bad parts mixed in the mixture are greater than the food quantitatively, divrei hakol notalas ha'ochel minechas psolas, then you should always take the food and not take away the psolas. So psolas murba la'ochel mikaman deshari. If the bad stuff is greater than the good stuff, so then who says you're allowed to? In that situation, with such small amounts of edible parts, wouldn't that be batel barov? And therefore, the entire mixture is no good, right? Because it's muktzah. If the entire mixture is considered to be unusable or inedible because most of it is inedible for one reason or another, so then shouldn't it be muksa completely? So Gemara says lo tricha to nafish betircha vezutar b'shiura. Taking out the psolas, taking away the bad part, would be greater effort than taking out the good part. Let's say for whatever reason, that's what it means, bigger or smaller. It doesn't mean that it would be batel barov, that there's so much bad overpowering the good, but rather that taking out the bad is too much work. Even though the bad is smaller quantitatively, qualitatively, it's harder to get out. So the chiddush is that you would still take out the good stuff.
Just more work. But you pay by fee. That's all they have. Why would it? Would they still forbid it?
And that's a completely different situation.
Okay.
No, we're talking about a regular situation. The guy has a mixture. He's not dying of hunger.
We're talking about
Yantif,
right?
Yeah, Yantif, regular situation.
Yeah. she was saying, for a while was saying, if there was more impurity than, if there's a greater amount of impurity than edible food, you would, there would be an issue.
Originally, that's what they said at the end also.
Right.
That's the case also at the end. It's just that there's a difference in terms of how much work you'd have to put in. So maybe you would think that that if there's more work required, if there's more work required to take out the good, maybe you should take out the bad. It would be less strenuous on Yantif. So no, Kamashman, you still take out the good even if it requires more work. You can soak it and then skim off the top, all the chaff on the top. They would bring a pail full of water, which is full of lentils. They would pour water over it. The bad stuff would rest. Didn't we say the opposite happened? That with the water, the psolus, the bad stuff went to the bottom, and the edible stuff came to the top. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha ha be'afra v'ha v'gile." One is when the stuff they were trying to get rid of was stones, was dust. Or dirt. And then the other one is with straw. And the straw is more dense than the lentils. Okay. Mishnah, Beishami Ormi Imshach Miyomtov Ella Manos. You're not allowed to send gifts on Yantif except for things that were for the sake of food. Right? That's already ready. Beishila Manos is like a meal. Not materials for a meal, but the meal itself. You could even send live birds and animals. Whether they're alive or already slaughtered. You can send wine, oils, and flour or legumes. But not actual sheaves of wheat. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you could even send wheat ahead. Rabbi Chiyo, as long as you don't do it in some kind of line, because that's more like a that's more business oriented, I guess. Tana ein shura pechusim yishlosh bnei adam, and a line would be once you have three people together. So by Rav Ashi, tlasa garve tlasa mine mai. What if it has it's three people but three different types of food? Is that considered like a shura? In which case, you know, assembly line, we're going to outlaw it? Or are we saying that, no, it's really in proportions, how many food there is versus how many people there are? So Gemara says, teku, we don't know how to solve that equation there. So Gemara continues, Rabbi Shimon Matar B'Tefuah, Rabbi Shimon says you could even give over sheaves of wheat, even though it requires more processing on Yantif. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Matar B'Tefuah could go on chitin lasos men ludios, like kernels of wheat, of wheat, which you can make into ludios, some kind of wheat dish. Seorim litein lifnei behemto, and similar barley for the sake of giving to your animal, and adashim lentils lasos men resisin, which is some kind of
growth.
What is it?
It says lentils to make lentil groats.
Groat?
Yeah, like
that's a groat. What's that, what is that?
Groats, and they're just cut. They're just soaked and cooked.
But what does it look like?
It's just chunky.
Chunks of lentils? That's what it
yeah,
is?
It would just, if you soaked it really quick, the skin would loosen, and you could just eat it.
It's little balls? What is it? How does it look like?
It looks like lentils. It's just, small lentils, which are flat, but they swell up into almost, not quite a ball, but
okay. That's a groat?
Yeah, and the same thing with oats. The oat groats are where they don't really process the oat. It's just, soak it a little bit. The skin loosens and the oat swells.
Never heard of it.
Swollen oats, okay. Groats. G-R-O-A-T?
Oats with G-R.
There's no pictures.
All right, new Mishnah. Meshachin kelim ben tefurin ben she'en tefurin. You can send clothing to one another, whether or not they're already wearable because they're sewn nicely, or if they're even not sewn and they're not able to be worn, which is interesting. The Beishami doesn't disagree. The aval b'sheish ben kilayim, even if there's kilayim. However, it still has to require v'hein l'tzarach l'moed. It has to still be required for the yantif. Aval lo sandal hamsumar, but not a sandal which is covered in leather.
Spikes.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay, spice. I think we talked about that on Shabbos, in Gemara and Shabbos. Yeah, because you're making divots in the ground, maybe. Below minal she'eno tafor, and not an unsewn shoe, because there's nothing you could do with that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo minal mibnei tzarech uman. You can't send minal lavan, a sort of a brand new shoe which is not yet colored, because it requires some kind of expertise in order to blacken it. So anything you can benefit from on Yantav itself, then you can use it even if your clothing is unstitched already. You can still use that cloth for other things as opposed to a shoe. You can't use a shoe unless it fits on your foot. This is the drasha about the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam sha'asa li kol tzarki. Hashem, you made everything for me. You've given me everything. What does that mean, you've given me everything? So the Gemara says in Brachos that we've learned together that every bracha in the morning corresponds to another activity you do when you wake up. Right? So you say, Pilkeach Yirim is when you wake up your eyes. Right? Hamechim Mitzadigab is when you put your feet on the floor. So what is the corresponding activity for Asali Kol Tzarki? Hashem, you gave me everything I need. It's putting on your shoes. Because as opposed to pants and a shirt, a shoe has to fit exactly right. If it's too big, it'll fall off. If it's too small, it won't fit. A shoe has to fit exactly right. So here also, if it doesn't fit exactly right, it doesn't have all the pieces, it's not going to be useful as a shoe. It's going to fall off. It's going to be too small. And therefore, you're not allowed to send it unless you know for sure it's already ready for the person. Gemara says, Bish, Lama Tfurin, if it's already sewn together, Chazulu Mabash, okay, you can wear it. Shein Tfur Nami, and also when it's not sewn together, Chazulu Kasuye, you can still use that clothing, non-sewn clothing, to cover something. Ela kilayim my chazu, but a piece of clothing which has kilayim in it. So then, what is it? What are you going to use that for? I don't know why this is such a good question. Is this a good question? Can't you use it for other? You can use it to cover other things too. There's no problem covering something with kilayim.
You just
can't put it on your body.
You can put it on your animal. You could.
Right. So v'chitzei machazul me'machtusei. Maybe it's good for your bedding. Maybe is that what it's saying? To go.
Sure.
To fold it up and put it underneath you for the sake of going to bed. V'atanya lo yale
alecha.
Right. It says in the brisa lo yale alecha. Aval teyach latzio tachtecha. Aval amr chacham asla asos kein shem teicharech lo. Nima al Basar, right? We remember this from the what Gemara did was this. We saw Sina Gemara at one point. Chaf Yom Asamach Tes. Yeah, that technically you're right. You could put this piece of cloth underneath you, but we're worried that some of the strands will come apart and they'll go on top of you, right? And therefore we're worried about that. That would be considered like wearing it. And if you're going to say that you could use it by cutting up the cloth, no, not cutting up the cloth, but using it as a separation for something, maybe you put something else in between you and the cloth. Maybe you're going to put an undergarment, and then you're going to wear this on top of that undergarment, and therefore it's not a problem. V'ha'amar Rabbi Shimon b'Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shua, Ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi, Mishum Kala Kedishat Yerushalayim, the people of Jerusalem said, Afilu Eser Matzal Zel Gabezu. Right, this is the Princess and the Pea analogy. V'kilayim Tachtein, Aser Lishon Aleim. You're not allowed to sleep on it, no matter how many separations there are. You could have 100 mattresses. It's still going to be considered. We're still worried about the kilayim. Mishum shenem or lo yala alecha, and lest something come upon you. So Gemara says, okay, elav bevilon. You can put it on a window to help, I don't know, for bugs or something.
The sun.
Block the sun for shade. Good. V'hamar ula mibnei ma'amru she mibnei am mibnei ma'amru vilon tamei mibnei she hashamish mischamim kenegdo. Because the shamish, the helper, will take it off and warm himself with it. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Take it off the window. It's been heated by the sun. Now you're going to use it as like a warm towel. Ella bekashin. Rather, what we're talking about is types of cloth which are harder, and therefore they don't get hot, and they wouldn't be allowed to be used as the as a window dressing of some kind, and therefore there's no use to them besides wearing them on your body or using them underneath the bed. V'chi hada amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua hai namta gamda denara sharia. Didn't he say that this strap, which is somewhat harder, that they would use from this place called Narash, would be okay? You're allowed to use it because it doesn't heat up. So Amar Papa ar dalayin ein b'mishum kilayin. This kind of thing doesn't have a problem of kilayin at all. And therefore what? What's the conclusion of that part? We said that you can send something with kilayim. So the Gemara said, well, you can't send anything. You can send... So what could you possibly use kilayim for? So in the end of the day, we said, oh, it's a hard substance cloth, which you could use for, who knows, your pants or something. You put them underneath your shoes.
I don't think you use them for the
They're like heel supports, like Dr. What's it called? Dr. Scholl. Maybe that's what we're talking about. Therefore, it's not a problem of kilayim, and you can use them. Those are the things we're talking about. You can send to your friend. Taka actually, last Rosh Hashanah, I davened Shacharis, I davened Musaf, and I spoke four times at all four minyanim, and my feet were hurting. So I went to Dr. Unger, and I said, you have anything for my feet? And he gave me inserts for my shoes. It wasn't kilayim, but if it was, that would have been okay. Okay, Shkaya. Yes.